This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where one of the things that has made this great nation distinctive, exceptional, singular, unprecedented, has been the variety and the energy behind a great number of religious faiths that have grown in this country. Of course, most of them have been a part of the greater Christian identity, and that has always been a part of what seemed to be distinctive in America. You can go back to reading Tocqueville, who toured through the country in the 1830s, and it's something that he noticed. Well, maybe not anymore, at least says a new big Gallup survey about American religiosity. It has some startling revelations in it, which we will get to. I have the chance to speak to a great friend of mine and somebody I enormously admire. Pete Wehner is a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He is a contributing opinion writer for the New York Times and a contributing editor for the Atlantic Magazine. He's also someone who has been a leading Republican thinker and activist for many, many years for President Reagan. He worked as a speechwriter and advisor to President George W. Bush, and he is somebody who has spoken out very strongly for the importance of maintaining core religious faith as a part of the American experience. Pete, Happy New Year to you, and I hope you had a wonderful Christmas holiday.
Thanks, Michael. Happy New Year to you, too, and it's great to be on with you. I've admired you for a lot of years, but never more so than the last half dozen or so, because you've taken a courageous and principled stand, and so I admire your mind and admire your heart, so it's great to be on with you.
I appreciate it very much. Looking at this Gallup survey, what's most striking is the decrease in the number of people who say that religion is very important to them, and the increase of the number of people between 1971 and 1971, 4% of people said that they had no religious affiliation. And it's now 21%. What do you think has caused that huge increase of disaffiliation from any traditional religion?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I would guess that part of the reason is that there's been a disaffiliation in general that's been happening. There's been a kind of what sociologists, social scientists refer to as the kind of extreme individualism that has been in motion, really, I would say, for several decades. You know, the independence is part of the American character, the American DNA, but so traditionally and at its best is a sense of community, of being part of larger institutions and organizations. And as you were talking about Tocqueville with the idea of the little platoon, And the groups, community groups, civic groups, and that kind of thing. But I do think in the last several decades, there has been a disaffiliation in general with Americans toward all sorts of institutions, including religious institutions. So I think that's one thing that's gone on. The second thing is that there's no question that the United States is more secular than it's been in the past for a lot of complicated reasons. We're simply a more secular society. A third thing that I think has happened is that probably a lot of people 50 years ago, 40 years ago, identified religion not because they themselves were deeply religious. but because it was a kind of cultural marker, a cultural identification. And I think there was kind of a pressure, an unstated pressure perhaps, but a pressure nonetheless, for people to say that they believed in God or to attend church. But now we live in a different time. Those pressures aren't there. But it's not a huge drop-off in terms of their own personal faith, their own personal commitment. And then the fourth thing I would say is that people who speak for religion, and here I have in mind in particular white evangelical Christians, who I think have vulgarized the faith and weaponized the faith, particularly in the realm of politics, particularly since the beginning of the Trump era. And I think that's been a huge turnoff to a lot of people, but particularly young people. And in that Gallup poll that you cite, the biggest hemorrhage of support in terms of religious affiliation, church attendance, and so forth, is with younger people. I think there's been a price to pay for how people who speak for faith have conducted themselves in public life.
Well, one of the things that is striking here is I've always said that to people, that generally when you look at the polling, the majority of people, overwhelming majority of people in America believe in God. A big majority of people say they pray on occasion. Amazingly enough, of people who describe themselves as atheists, which are less than 2% of the total population. But among atheists, a third say they pray regularly. So, you know, it's a complicated country. But but here, what is very striking is that you once upon a time had 90% of U.S. adults who identified with a Christian religion, and only 4% had no religious preference. And it's today 49% of Americans still say religion is very important in their lives. But back in 1965, when they first asked that question, it was 70% who said that religion was very important. Do you suspect, as I do, that part of what has happened, and this is very much on the left as well as the right, has been the identification of religion with politics, the idea that to be a member of this church you have to go along with some of the political positions the church might take, either on the left or on the right?
Absolutely. I think that that's one of the contributing factors. There's no question. I mean, I just know anecdotally from conversations with friends of mine, pastors, theologians, people of the Christian faith, so that's happened. And I actually did an essay for The Atlantic a couple of months ago on the sort of evangelical crack-up. And I must say, Michael, I was, even though I went in with the supposition, my premise was that the church was being divided in unprecedented ways in my lifetime, largely because of politics. So I reached out to, I don't know, 30 or more people that I know, pastors, theologians, academics, historians, and so forth. And I was taken aback to a person. They all not only affirmed my thesis, but amplified it. And particularly pastors. Not pastors who were themselves political, by the way. They were people who mostly wanted to preach the gospel. That's why they became ministers. But it's how their churches had become repositories of political divisions, partisan divides. So the way that faith and politics have been intertwined in this most recent iteration is, I think, quite dangerous. I say that as someone who believes that faith properly understood has something to contribute, something important to contribute to politics, because politics is about justice, I think, finally and fundamentally. And it seems to me that the faith, certainly the faith traditions that you and I represent and call Christianity and Judaism, have a lot to say about justice. And those aren't the only two religions that have anything to say about justice. So it's not as if I think that faith should be silent on matters of public affairs. We saw that with Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement. We've seen it with the abolitionist movement in this country and in other examples.
We may see it again, but how? What would be necessary for religion and religiously infused values to make a dramatic comeback in this country, which I know Pete Wehner has been working for most of his life. We will get back to that with Pete Wehner of the Ethics and Public Policy Center coming up on the MedVed Show.
I feel like I'm on a special spiritual journey.
This is the Michael MedVed Show.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at washingtonpolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
No, if I can do it.
Michael Medved Show, talking to Pete Wehner of the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., who for many years has been a leading writer and a profound writer about politics, about faith, about the intersection thereof. His most recent book is called The Death of Politics. And Pete, we're taking a look at this Gallup poll. One of the most disturbing aspects of the Gallup poll has to do with church attendance, where it's just a very, very clear decline. And now, it used to be, for years and years, it was about more than a third of Americans who attended church every week. Some surveys showed 50%. Who went to church or synagogue every single week. Now that's down to 22% of Americans, whereas 31% say they never attend religious services, not at all, and then another 25% say seldom. So you now have a very different country. You have a total of 56% of Americans who say they seldom or never go to church. And again, what would the church do as an institution? What should American religious leadership do to try to win back particularly some of those young people who are not participating?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I know that a lot of pastors are struggling with this. I guess, Michael, I'd say several things. I mean, I think the first thing that it has to do medical ethics of do no harm. I think the church now, or a lot of churches, and many denominations within the churches are doing just a lot of active harm. And I mean harm in terms of our civic life and our political life and in the lives of individuals through a kind of harsh judgmentalism. And so that needs to stop. And then I think on the flip side, how do you win people back? I think you win people back by being communities that invite people into a world of human flourishing and human joy. If churches were meeting the needs of people, and I mean the deep needs of people, the longing to be a part of a community, to have our stories heard and listened to feel loved and cared for and challenged and supported, if those things were happening, people would come because that is a human longing. And I think that if people are turning away from that, it means that they're not finding it in the churches, and the churches have to find ways to meet that. Now, it's not simple on how you do it, and I think different churches and different communities, different regions of the country do it in different ways. But look up, you know, you're the movie expert, but the line, if you build it, they will come. And I think if you build institutions that meet the deep human longings that people, all of us, one degree or another, are searching for, they'll come.
You know a great deal about the history of the church in America. And one of the things that has puzzled me is there are a lot of prominent evangelical Christian leaders who have been part of this anti-vax movement, trying to insist that there is somehow some sort of religious violation with people taking a shot that may end up saving their lives or the lives of people around them. Where does this come from? Was there ever anything like this regarding other vaccines concerning polio or measles or smallpox or anything else in recent history?
Not to this extent. I mean, there is an element of anti-vax movement within, I think, some elements of the Christian homeschooling movement, that people thought that autism was created by vaccinations, but nothing on the scale that we've seen. And the idea, you know, that people are invoking a religious exemption from vaccinations is ludicrous. There's no religious exemption that exists, not a serious, legitimate one that would keep people from getting vaccinated. I'd say this is just another data point in how religion and faith is being subordinated to cultural identity, to sociology, to politics and partisanship. And the vaccines, for the strangest and most tragic of reasons, has gone from the realm of science and medicine into the arena of the culture wars. And so it becomes a kind of a cultural identity marker. It's a form almost of virtue signaling within some groups, a lot of them white evangelical groups, but not only them. So not to get vaccinated means that you're standing with your tribe, because the vaccines have been put into an us and them category within the arena of politics. It's, as I said, it's tragic, because there are human lives that are being lost because of this. But this just is another indication of how sick our politics are these days. And unfortunately, religion has contributed to it. I'm a person of deep faith. It's the most central thing to my life. But I used to be much stronger in my belief of the importance of religion for a nation to be moral. I mean, in my view, is very much what the American founders had. I still believe that, but to have seen the way that faith has been weaponized and used as a club in our culture wars and in partisan battles has been very, very discouraging. And of course, you know too that the history of religion throughout human history is very, very mixed. You saw the use of religion to justify American slavery and segregation. You saw it, what happened with the Protestant Church in Nazi Germany. We saw it with the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa. We saw it in Rwanda, which was, I think, more than 90% Christian, according to polls, and yet they had the most brutal civil war. So faith can be a healing force in the nation and can lift people up to see the good and the right and the beautiful and to aspire to do wonderful things. Or it can be used to create division, pain, hardship, war, and death. And it's a mixed record. And we have to be very attentive, particularly, it seems to me, the people who are themselves religious, who cherish what faith is in its most authentic version.
Do you know what? I believe, and I know that this is something you feel very much in your heart, is that we are going to get a favorable Supreme Court decision to give states more leeway to regulate abortion. In other words, there will be nibbling back at Roe v. Wade. The difficulty will be learning how to mitigate that, how to make that actually work in state politics, which is a huge challenge awaiting this country. Pete Wehner is there to help us meet all our huge challenges.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Flights continue to be canceled and delayed. FlightAware saying 2,000 flights into, out of, and within the United States have been canceled or delayed. They say 800 flights have been canceled and more than 1,200 have been delayed. Winter weather and COVID-related staffing issues are disrupting air travel. The CDC is shortening the recommended times people need to isolate if they test positive for COVID-19. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky telling NBC's Today Show the time is cut from 10 days to 5 as long as they wear a mask around others for at least 5 more days.
And we generally know that most of your transmission potential happens in those 1 to 2 days before you have symptoms and those 2 to 3 days after.
More news online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
On the Michael Medved Show, one of the big issues that divides people in this country, and it divides them also along a religious basis. Religious people would be far more concerned, it seems to me, on what kind of indoctrination their children may or may not be getting in public schools. And there's a great deal of hostility on both sides here, but I think primarily on one side, a sense on the part of the education establishment, teachers, unions, and others, that as Terry McAuliffe said, and that lost him the election in Virginia, is the idea that parents should not, quote, meddle in their children's education, which is so crazy and it's so weird and it's so strange that that has come up as a point of view now, and a point of view that is endorsed by people like Randy Weingarten, the teachers union leader, and people who are very prominent in the Democratic Party, that education is too important to give the parents a voice. And no one here is talking about homeschooling, but that is clearly an alternative. It's basically trying to view parents as partners in their children's education. And to keep in mind that teachers actually work for the parents. There was on December 16th a school board meeting in Texas, in Leander, Texas. And what happened was after the school board meeting, or at the school board meeting, a former teacher who is now an
instructional technology specialist at a middle school is named Krista Tyler. And she attacked concerned parents at the meeting when they voiced their exception and objection to using sexually explicit books in the library and the classroom. There was one particular book, I can't say that I have read it. It is called Lawn Boy, which is described on Amazon as, quote, a vibrant coming-of-age novel and a sharp social commentary on class, a painfully honest portrait of one young man's struggle to overcome the hand he's been dealt in life and to reach for his dreams. And in fact, the book does include a great deal of graphic sexuality underage involving homosexuality. And the second book, by the way, that was under discussion at the school board meeting was called Gender Queer. In the school library journal bills it as a great resource for those who identify as non-binary or asexual, as well as for those who know someone who identifies that way and wishes to better understand. So in response to objection to covering those books, and by the way, another book that they wanted removed in this particular debate was a book called Black Flamingo by Dean Atta, which is another coming-of-age novel about a mixed-race gay teen who becomes a drag artist. Now, do I believe that those books should be banned from public libraries? Of course not. But a school library or a curriculum is something different. And it's very telling the way that this former teacher responded to any objection to books like the ones that I've described. And she responded with a parody of Dr. Seuss. And it sounded like this.
A little holiday session for you guys. Everyone in Leander liked reading a lot, but some evangelicals in Leander did not. These kooks hated reading the whole reading season. Please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be perhaps critical thinking causes fright. It could be their heads aren't screwed on just right. But whatever the reason, their brains or their fright, they can't follow policy in plain black and white. You wrote EF Local so that our children could learn. Please follow policy if there's cause for concern. These bigots don't get to choose for us, that's clear. Then how, I am wondering, did we even get here? They growl at our meetings, all hawing and humming. We must stop this indoctrination from coming. They've come for the books and the bonds, and what for? Their kids don't even attend Leander schools anymore. Bring back our books. Maintain decorum. Good grief. Wouldn't it be nice to have a meeting in peace?
And there it is. The idea that parents should have no input in what is taught, this goes very much to the same theme that came up from Nicole Hannah Smith, who is the author of the 1619 Project, who believed that it was not her job or any parent's job to evaluate what children were being taught. That should be left to educational experts. But the fact is that, especially when you're teaching history, or if you're teaching literature, or if you're teaching something other than mathematics or basic science, is it really so simple and direct that it is black and white? Let me ask you this. I mean, how do you teach children about John Brown? And John Brown is a very complicated figure. He was quite literally a murderer. In Pottawatomie Creek in Kansas, he and his sons went out and murdered some local settlers in their beds, and with swords, with knives. And of course, his plan for taking weapons at Harper's Ferry and leading a slave rebellion also included a promise of murder toward slave owners, and by the way, greatly helped provoke the Civil War because people were terrified of it. Now, that doesn't make slavery any less evil. Slavery was profoundly evil. But what do you do about teaching about John Brown and his role in 1859, right before the Civil War, in provoking the conflict? There's a great deal that is involved other than the clear, black and white, direct, uncomplicated simplicity with which you can present sometimes very complex issues about war and peace. How do you treat the idea of dropping the bomb on Hiroshima? Is that a profound evil? And the idea that children should be indoctrinated with one point of view in all of that is extremely questionable. There needs to be parental input. I'll tell you another issue, the issue of learning about the Cold War. There are undoubtedly children who have parents or grandparents who participated in the Cold War or in some of the episodes of the Cold War, including Vietnam and Korea. The idea of a more open-minded classroom seems to me to be what people on the right now are fighting against. And it's an issue where it's all solved by school choice. How does that work? We will get to that coming up on the Michael Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right.
An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Michael Medved show, one of the things that has been terrifically encouraging to me has been the great interest that people have shown, particularly at this year-end period where people are getting, sometimes returning, exchanging Christmas gifts. No, I'm not saying anything about what you should do with your gifts. I'm just saying you can give yourself a gift anytime. For a birthday, there's a certain granddaughter that I know has a birthday coming up on January 3rd, for instance, right after the New Year's. But you can give a gift of membership to MedHead Plus because this gives you choice in education. There is a great deal of history where I do attempt to give attention to both sides, but basically come from a very clear point of view that I think America is exceptional. It's different from other countries, and not just different, it's better. And do I believe that? Yes. Does that come across in our history programs on MedEd Plus? And by the way, I'm very proud that there are many homeschooling families that have benefited from some of this material. For instance, there is the whole question of the attitude toward church and state, which is not anti-religious in the United States. In fact, it was set up more specifically by the framers of the First Amendment, not to protect government from religion, but to prevent and protect religion from government. In any event, it's all fascinating, it's important, and it's available to you at an incredibly low cost. Right now, you can get still a MedHead Plus subscription for an entire year for $70. It comes to 22 cents a day. That's all. And every single day you can download a different MedVed history show, like the history shows that we play on holidays, sometimes on the air. But check it out at michaelmedved.com. Go to the MedHead Plus label and join us. It's a way to get the show commercial-free 24/7 anytime you want. And any segment of the show, or to just go ahead and download, stream any of our literally hundreds of hours of history programming, which you can see what's available at MedVedHistoryStore.com. All right, concerning this question of school choice, all of the debates we see, whether it's a debate over the 1619 Project or critical race theory, or a debate over the way human sexuality is taught in school, and whether, in fact, there should be a whole emphasis on starting in middle school on queer studies and the whole idea of the role of drag queens in our society. Again, am I saying that there should be some kind of formal ban? Of course not. But what there should be is some respect to parents who make a choice to send their child to a particular school. And there has to be a place, and it should be provided in public education, where people can have some input into the content they want to be part of their children's education. So it's not just a flat-out political indoctrination on one side or another. And concerning that political indoctrination, there's actually, on one of the big issues that has taken a lot of time, there appears to be, maybe it's just the impact of the season and the holiday, but the New York Times is reporting that the House Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol has agreed to delay or withdraw demands for hundreds of Trump White House records at the request of the Biden administration. This is out of concern, says the Times, that releasing some of the documents could compromise national security. Despite the deal made public yesterday, President Joe Biden still rejects former President Donald Trump's claims that all internal White House documents pertaining to the riot be withheld on the grounds of executive privilege. The White House counsel, Dana Remus, has been negotiating in recent weeks with the House committee to set aside requests on all or part of 511 documents her staff has deemed sensitive, unrelated to the probe, or potentially compromising to the long-term prerogatives of the presidency. Okay, this indicates kind of an amazing prospect, which is that on this explosive issue of basically, do the American people deserve to find out what exactly Donald Trump was doing behind the scenes while there were literally thousands of people who were ransacking the Capitol building? I think the American people deserve to know. He was serving as president. But does that mean they get to take a look at every aspect of his presidency? No, there is still, and the Biden administration is acknowledging that now, there is still a fine line to be negotiated. But the one thing that I think is increasingly clear is that as we approach the midterm elections, both sides will gain, both sides, by actually trying to settle this matter of the ongoing investigation, so not every single day's headline is a struggle over some documents. And at some point or another, there does need to be some explanation of when President Trump summoned people to Washington, and he did. He said, it's going to be wild, we're going to have a lot of protest. What did he mean when he said, it's going to be wild? Is that reasonable to find out? Because if you are making a statement to the public, if you're engaging in a public action to try to ask about what the purpose of that public action is, it does not seem to me as unreasonable at all when aimed at a president of the United States. But the Biden administration now is conceding that that doesn't mean you have unfettered and freewheeling access to everything, even if it may not have a direct impact on the issue at hand, which was not the insurrection, but the riot at the Capitol building. Speaking of the riot at the Capitol building, there's another matter of public safety, and it's extraordinary because During the Christmas break, during the holiday, they actually had an update in Philadelphia on a pretty horrifying crime. A member of Congress, and she's a liberal Democrat, and she hasn't been particularly tough on crime in the past, but I think that may change. Her name was Mary Gay Scanlon, and a Congresswoman Scanlon was hijacked. Scanlon's blue Acura MDX was found a couple of days after it was taken. She had gone to a constituent meeting in South Philadelphia in FDR Park, and Scanlon, a Democrat, was walking to her parked vehicle after a meeting and a tour at the city's FDR Park about 3 p.m. on the Wednesday before Christmas, when two armed men demanded her keys, police said. She handed them over, and one drove off in the one car, and the other followed in a dark sport utility vehicle, police said. Scanlon was physically unharmed, said her spokesman, Lauren Cox. Several personal and work items were taken with the vehicle, including her phone from Congress, and there was no indication that the two carjackers knew who Scanlon was. The FBI on Thursday, that's right before Christmas, charged Josiah Brown, who is 19, with carjacking, a weapons charge, and aiding and abetting. According to the criminal complaint, Brown was carrying the keys to Scanlon's vehicle when they recovered it in Wilmington, Delaware, about 45 miles away, apparently, from where the car was taken. Brown told FBI agents he and two accomplices were driving around Philadelphia when they decided to steal a car, and they spotted Scanlon. Brown claimed he was carrying an unloaded firearm. He was arrested together with four accomplices, a 14-year-old female and three males aged 13, 15, and 16, each charged with receiving stolen property. The 15-year-old was also charged with resisting arrest. Look, the crime problem when this happens to a U.S. congressman in broad daylight in the streets of Philadelphia, there needs to be action in that direction in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
901-424-5280. 901-424-5280. That's 901-424-5280.
Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.